one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Welcome to the meeting of the Stanford Planning Commission. If you have a matter to discuss that is not included on the agenda, you may do so by addressing the chairperson and stating your name and address. Pat? No? Okay.
I do.
You do?
I do.
Okay.
So...
You're addressing me, right?
I'm addressing you.
No, I'm not a stickler for something. I just never read this before, like, clearly.
Right.
So you're addressing me.
I am. So the select board is working on, well, they're considering declassifying the last 0.3 miles of county road from the National Forest Sucker Pond Trail to the Connell Line.
Okay.
They're considering going from the class 4 section that it is down to a legal trail. They scheduled a site visit and a public hearing, and as Planning Commission, you guys received notice of that.
Okay.
So, the site visit, August 1st.
Tons of August. You need to read that book?
What is it?
Called The Guns of August.
What was the rationale? I didn't see anything on it.
I haven't seen anything yet.
The ATV people came with the thought that they're trying to connect the Sucker Pond Trail over to Pownell Trails.
Okay.
But there's a hole in the middle. So by making this part just a legal trail, we don't have to worry about maintaining it, upkeep. I mean, it's so bad now, it's just being...
Is that called what they call the sippy hole?
No.
Even beyond that.
That's on Whiskey Ranch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just basically from the power lines.
From the power lines to Broad. Yeah, Broad.
I know some of the young guys busted up my big 5-ton army truck pulling somebody out of
this. It's already so basically...
Yeah, no, the sippy hole's off Whiskey Ranch.
Okay.
It's a Jeep trail right now, essentially.
So do we still have Whiskey Ranch?
Does it affect any town owner who camps?
National Forest owns on both sides of the road for the entire section, so they're the only ones being affected as a property.
Okay.
So nobody else is going to be able to ride up there. We used to have Whiskey Ranch, and it went around Klondike and right around the circle.
Yeah.
Then they went down county and got rid of everything.
You can't ride it on the fastest sticker anyway, regardless.
Yeah. But we had it already set in because we set in with Wolford at the time.
Well, we have a heads up.
Residents can't just ride anymore without a fastest sticker.
My initial thought until I talked to a few other people is it's not affecting owners of camps. And it may make it easier for the guys with the four-wheelers and the ATVs, I'm all for it. But that's me.
Just a month ago, didn't they open up from County Road to Sucker Pond? The same deal?
That would have been the federal government, and I don't know as if they did.
No deals cut as far as I'm aware.
Is there any potential for building up in that spot? I really don't know what you're talking about. But where's the closest house?
Major road investments. It's already in.
But my question is, where's the closest house?
There's a camp at the end of County Road on the corner of like Klondike and County. Just up Old County. I don't know, maybe 100 yards on the right.
That's a camp though. Where's the closest house?
Closest house?
Yeah.
Probably Susan Sarandon. Her property.
Are they talking about the trail that goes over to Bennington?
Yeah, I thought they were talking about like all the way at
Old County Road, all the way through over.
Yeah, well, they're only declassifying
0.3 miles.
The end where both West Road and
Old Trail, County whatever Road. Comes out, their numbers now. Sucker Pond Trail. It's right at the high tension line.
Right.
You go down, you go past Klondike on County, maybe.
I'm familiar with what you're talking
half
about.
Half mile, maybe 3/4 of a mile, whatever.
So what happens with the state in terms of if you declassify a town road to a trail, what authority does the state have over that?
I don't think it matters. Yeah, whatever the hell they want to do. I mean, yeah. I think it's just a matter of getting it off our table.
You can always make it a road again.
Either it affects somebody or it doesn't, in my opinion.
We're not doing anything with it, so.
It'd be like the Ford legal trail. We have 3 hours.
Let's keep this simple. If it's not affecting anybody with a camp or a house, and the guys who drive four-wheelers and side-by-sides, which I've always supported, if they're looking for this, it seems to me it's a win-win. I mean, unless I hear other information that changes my mind.
I mean, I think it takes some cheaper. I mean, I haven't been over there for a long time. It's basically a jeeper with some skills to get over the road at this point. It's highly eroded out.
Yeah, top of that road is bad. I went over it about 2 weeks ago with the trail max that I have, and I was like,
yeah, that's rough.
It's bad.
I had log trucks all the way up to Sucker Pond 25 years ago.
20 years ago, you could probably take a pickup over it, but it's just, it's got.
I went over it 5 years ago.
Well, let me get this on the record real quick. Hold your thought. Let me just get this from the select board. So this is a message from the select board to the planning commission. Dear planning commission, the select board is considering the declassification of a portion of County Road from class 4 to a legal trail. A public site inspection meeting has been scheduled to view the approximate 0.3 mile of County Road beginning at the intersection of the National Forest Trail number 301 Sucker Pond Trail and County Road, continuing along County Road westerly to the Pownall, Vermont town line. Since you are the interested party, formal notice is hereby given of the site inspection, which will be held on Thursday, August 1st, 2024 at 4:45 p.m., beginning at the Stanford Town Office, 986 Main Road, Stanford, Vermont. The Select Board will hold a public hearing on Thursday, August 1st at 5:30, at the town office concerning the approximate 0.3 mile of County Road. If you have any questions, let us know. Nancy Bashika, Chair of the Select Board.
Okay, so the my understanding is my right of way went all the way up to Sucker Pond. And what I call the Sucker Pond Road is right at the high tension.
Yeah.
And there's a road goes off to the right.
Right. That's trail 301.
There's nothing. I mean, and any camps are from there back.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing that I'm aware of. I mean, it's
kind of like I thought that was actually the line.
Is it the road going under the Bennington, or is it going up to Sucker Pond?
I think it's right at the end of Old County where I'd have to see it, but I'm assuming it's at the top of West Road where it turns right to go to County. That section from there to the point of the line.
The 0.3 mile starts at Sucker Pond Trail, and it goes west to the pond.
It's County Road. It's only County Road from the Pownall line, 0.3 miles to that Sucker Pond Trail.
So it's not the top of West Road. It's out at the high tension where the road goes off to the right.
It's even further. And our road commissioner it removes his requirement to maintain water bars or maintain it in any way.
Has he been doing anything up there?
They've been doing stuff for years, Dave.
So my point with that, how hard is it to bring it back to class 4 once you remove it?
Already it would be a major undertaking.
No. What I'm saying is if you go to a trail, would you have to survey to bring it back to class 4?
You make it a legal trail, I believe, because you retain the right to do whatever you want with it in the future.
You didn't answer my question, though. What would it entail to bring it back to class 4?
Way more money than we have.
So why would you want to give that up? You can use it now, right?
So the survey would be required when the
road
parameters
are undistinguished.
not a usable road.
Why don't, you just go to the meeting on August 1st and get information from people who are going to have more information than any of us.
I agree with you, and my only point to bringing this up, I think there's questions that have to be answered.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of people don't
know.
This
isn't new. This started over a year and a half.
Yeah, so, hey, look, I bought trails for people 20 years ago, and they let them go, and now they want them back, and, you know, I see the ATVs going up the road and UTVs 50 miles an hour by the dump, so.
Some of the roads we gave away, we also established legal trails, which I believe.
You gave away a lot of right-of-ways.
I didn't give away nothing.
No, the select board did, which should never happen.
The legal trails you can retain if you want to use them in the future.
Okay.
So my question is, why can't you use them now?
You can.
For an ATV.
We're looking to bridge the gap, that's all.
They just want to create a loop when they're riding.
Yeah.
The loop's already there, though.
It's not, though. There's a gap between Stanford and Powell.
They get more funding. They get more funding.
So technically, if they ride that from the trail and the EPO is there, fine.
Okay.
It's not trail.
That's different.
Yeah, okay. Rescue Ranch doesn't create a loop anymore because Connell sold their portion to National Forest and then they gave it.
He just brought up a point that makes sense, that it allows
legal riding.
The state to find people on a section that's not true, right?
Well, they can do that all over the state. Yeah. I mean, if you ride, when you come off by the pond and actually have to cross over the main road to get to the trail, you have a section that's allowed on that state highway, because technically there's
basically
no
allows.
If you're past that, like a smidgen, that state that lives right here can be like, bam, and take your whole thing.
So if you're registered, you can drive wherever you want.
No.
You can't.
Not anymore. You used to be able to ride on class 4 roads, regardless.
I'm talking about registered, insurance, and.
Nope. You, the only way you can do that, there's only one loophole, and I'm not even going to get onto it on the recording because we don't need to hear all that stuff. But bottom line is, you have to be registered, insured, and have a VASA pass to be able to ride the VASA trails.
They want to be honest. Okay.
Yeah. You can't just come from like Maine and be like, woo, I'm going to rip the road, you know, because they're up there and they're pulling people over left and right. And they're just looking for your sticker, and they're looking for your insurance.
It's essentially a lot of our residents,
right? Is it mostly stadies or
no, it's ATO.
Huh?
I mean, there are some sheriff's department guys that sometime are up closer towards Reedsboro, but a lot of the EPLs and stuff like that, they'll sit right at the entrance to like Sucker Pond and stuff like that, and they're waiting for you to come up the road.
20 years ago, it was a lot of the game wardens.
Yeah, we just don't have, we don't have the Powell stuff. Like Powell used to be able to ride, like you can ride an ATV. I don't, since that person got hurt or died on next to Stewart's a couple years ago, I don't know if things have changed over there. I don't really pay attention because I don't ride over there, but they were the only ones that you could ride. And in Reedsboro, you can ride around certain areas, but it's like very specific.
I'm just saying, I think this is going to be a fun meeting on August.
I think it's a great thing. It ends the loophole. It allows them to ride. They do maintain the trails. I think they take care of them. The people that ride them, the majority of the people, we've always got bad eggs, don't get me wrong, but once they come down Main Road at 100 or go up Main Road at 50, I mean, you're never going to get rid of that. Okay, you can try like hell, but
it's in a place too where it's not going to affect the quality of life of certain people.
Right.
It's off.
I knew a young kid in his teens that had like 3 friends and they had motorcycles. And it was a state trooper lived in town by the name of Paul Kipp.
He is a right again.
And he came to my house more than once to have a talk with my dad. We were ripping down the road.
And they still do, and I mean, that's another discussion.
Let's shut the nose off. What's going on?
All right, let's okay. To the next topic.
Okay, next thing, hearing of visitors.
Woohoo!
Don't do as I did.
Double.
No, you've got your 5 minutes.
Double visitor.
So I'm coming as the treasurer, asking you guys to approve payment of this bill. And the Planning Commission members that have been on the board for a couple of years will remember that a couple of years ago, the BCRC came and dangled the carrot and said, hey, we're doing this bylaw modernization grant. We don't know all the terms yet, but just sign up here and you'll get better grants. And they just kind of these great things that we would get if we signed up. And then when we got to the nitty-gritty that said we need to increase housing and, you know, the cards we didn't want to share initially, the board chose not to change the bylaws ultimately. So our 10% match was not waived. So I received a bill for it this week, $909.07.
What was the 7 cents?
909.07. That would have been our 10% match that they wouldn't have waived. And they come out and say it would be waived if the municipality adopted zoning revisions that reflected the state's priorities for removing regulatory impediments to housing development. So all along, they knew they were pushing housing development.
Yeah.
But you never heard those words for the first year and a half of the
grant. Okay, so Lori, what are the ramifications if we tell them to go pound sand?
$900.
$900. No, not
me. You just tell me, can you?
What's the duration of this?
We signed an agreement to proceed with this grant. The bylaw update, and then the more we got into it and found out what it was about, we chose not to change our bylaws. So
we jostled around several things you could change.
I remember.
I thought we did change something so that we did avoid that.
No bylaw was changed.
I don't think we ever accepted it.
You had to change one bylaw to meet this.
Yeah, I thought we did though.
For example, not that you guys would want to do any of it, but you could go for 150 feet of road frontage, 125. Here, one change.
Or change like
anything. I remember it was a very one simple change.
One little change. I thought we did it.
We didn't do it. We're at the point now they want $900.
And for how long? Again, what's
just
forever?
This is a one shot deal. I think it's too late. We had our opportunity to move forward and we did it.
Look, we have a 7-member board. You're smiling. You know where I'm going with this. I make a motion that we tell them to go pound sand.
Why didn't you?
All those in favor.
Politically correct.
No.
I put a motion so that we refuse payment.
You depend on if that was Jim Sullivan you were doing.
I think he used the term Sullivan.
If that was Jim Sullivan, that's what you'd be saying to him, because he's the guy that did this.
You probably never got.
I'm inviting Jim Sullivan to the conference we're going to have in town.
Yeah,
I'm good buddies with him, but I'd tell him the same thing, but he wouldn't.
He used the BCRC for a lot of things, I don't think. You know, we had a chance to use it. We should pay for it.
No, you're right.
Do we have a second or anything? We got to finish here.
We got
a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll jump on yours. No, yours is better.
I make a motion to pay the bill.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's just get it out.
All right, so can I see who's an aye?
All those not in favor?
Let's just get it going.
To pay the bill.
So who wants to pay the bill? We're not going to pay.
What can they do to us if we just don't pay?
I mean, who knows? But then
next time you need a plant, next time you need help, next time you everything.
This is something, I was on the select board for 10 years.
Town plan.
This is something that I learned. You push back and you see how far they're going to push back. If you don't push back, you don't know.
I guess
you understand?
I'm uneducated on what happened and transpired and the duration of what happened.
So Mike,
I was part of that. We agreed with it, and then I was off the board.
My
we didn't follow
is,
up and do what we were supposed to do. Pay the bill.
If you don't push back, you don't know what the other side's going to do.
A lot of times
you push back and they just fold.
Right.
They throw their cards down and they're like,
hard to say.
And what do you got to lose?
Who was pushing for that $1,000?
Who was pushing for the $1,000?
Shaftesbury.
900. I remember the vote and how it went down, and we were fighting. We didn't want to do it, and somebody said, "We're going to do it." And I'm looking at him right there.
I'm not the fucking mayor in town. right?
All right.
Dan, would you?
It's already voted on. It's already all set.
Let's move on.
Because you're blind.
I'm not putting mine on there. You got, I didn't vote for it. You guys put your
vice chair.
I've signed worse things.
I need my thimble.
Yeah,
you just want my name on here? Anywhere in specific? I don't really care.
Just put an okay for your motion.
Say it again.
The last meeting we did.
All we got is a word, and that's no good. What did you?
I don't have them anymore. Do you have actually?
Does everybody get this?
I don't know. Probably not.
Is that what you want?
Mayor?
Yeah, I'll make sure.
I think it shows.
Did you get my email?
I would never assure you.
Which one did you send it on? Which one did you send it on?
The princes have all the funds. Just remember that.
I have a problem.
Do we have any more visitors to go on to speak?
I'm done.
You sure?
Yep.
Stay in there.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so hearing the approval of records.
I sent three emails.
Regular meeting minutes of June 3rd.
Check it out. Email me.
Can everybody check out the meeting? The minutes?
Just send me something so I know that we can connect. Okay.
I'm going to ask if anybody has any objections. I make a motion to approve that. Anybody who was here at the last meeting can approve it.
I can't remember if you're or not.
You were not here.
Right.
And I was not here.
You were not here. And I wrote the minutes, so I feel like I shouldn't approve.
Yeah, okay.
So one of you two has to approve. Second, I mean.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I
was here.
Minutes are approved.
Lori, how do I write that?
I don't believe that. Vote right.
Did you get a first?
I can't say all approved, right?
I don't believe I can vote so.
How do I write that one?
No, you can't. If you're not here, you really can't.
You don't have four.
So you do have four.
So can I, even though I wrote them?
Did four vote?
Yeah, you can.
I didn't vote.
You can vote.
You can vote.
Because I wrote them, I wasn't sure.
You can vote.
Okay.
You can vote. So you would say, Dan made the motion, Aldi seconded it, four, you're going to say four yeses, and then you're going to say, what's
that?
Three.
Three
abstained.
Three abstained. We're not present.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so now to discuss.
It looks like my sweater you're making over there.
Mighty tiny, isn't it?
Not just right.
Be a nice hat, huh?
Cute.
You got another rain gel. Really?
What is that? Baby sweater.
Twins?
For grandma.
No, I got two different kids.
Oh, okay.
One's in August and one in November.
Wonderful.
All right. What do you have for
open meeting law?
Passed?
Okay, well, the first one is the open meeting law. I don't know if everyone saw that, and I'm glad Lori is at today's meeting. From what I can discern from attending legal stuff on BCRC when they went over the laws, the Planning Commission is considered non-advisory, even though we 99% of the time we advise, but because we vote on things like the lot division, for example, we're considered non-advisory. And therefore, the rules apply to us that we have to have a recording, which we do, and it has to be digitally put on. Did you talk about this already, Lori? Are you going to put it on the website, or?
I have not talked to a select board yet, but I think it needs to go on the website. I think that's the new requirement.
Yeah, and so it needs to be posted. I would say just put it right next to the minutes there. And it needs to be posted for 30 days after we say these are minutes are approved. So the minutes we just approved can go on 30 days from now, but the advice is to sort of get it on as soon as possible. So, and then it has to stay up for 30 days after our next meeting. So we meet the next first Monday in August, And these, the, these, this recording will stay up for 30 days after that. But that's sort of for something between Lori and me, so we don't really have to worry about it. We also have to provide, always have to have an in-person meeting, which isn't such a problem because COVID, you know, it was a bigger deal then. But we also have to have a remote option for people, whether it's, you know, just a telephone or something like that. I'm not sure if we have any other electronic, but we also have to put on the webpage, again, Lori will be doing this probably, the explanation of the open meeting law, how you can make a complaint if the open meeting law wasn't followed properly, etc. That all needs to go on the webpage. But again, I don't think this board needs to just be aware of it. Next one, Act 250, that also, the Act 250 change, the changes to Act 250 passed, where they overrode the veto by the governor. And we talked about these last meeting. So I talked with Janet Hurley from BCRC, and she also agrees that we probably won't be a tier one town. We couldn't, because if we, I guess we do have a village designation. I wasn't sure if we did. But she's thinking because we don't have the staffing, you have to have X amount of staffing, and we don't have that. Yeah, I know. So she really doesn't think we'll be a tier one. So to me, that puts us at tier two, which keeps us the same old Act 250, or tier three, which goes into protecting natural resources.
Isn't that only like the 2060 or something like that?
That's something else.
Did they get the maps yet?
No, they haven't done the land use maps yet.
Tier 3 is the one that scares me.
Right.
When we start talking about natural resources, you're going to take the rest of your rivers, your water, and your farmland.
What do you think the chances of that are, seeing how we're like 55% national forest?
Right.
Very good.
They're going to protect the
Very good.
Exactly. Yeah.
It'll be more protection.
And this is what I was talking about earlier. Is at some point you got to push back, and if nobody pushes back, they just keep taking. I'm all about pushing back. I always have that in this town, and then I want to see what the other guy's going to do. Okay, you're going to bring in the big guns? You're going to bring in lawyers and sue us? Okay, maybe we got to take a step back, but I want to see what you're going to do.
Well, they're going to draw the maps, and it's going to take a couple of years, Dan, for them to get all that. They're going to decide kind of who's in which tier.
And what did you say really you thought we were going to be?
We'll mostly be in the tier three, I believe, which is where they'll protect our natural resources.
Yeah.
So,
one, like more development.
Pardon?
High density development within
right.
the
Right, yes.
City water, school.
Yeah,
right.
That's
well, we don't have to have, we just have to be. We have to have, they call it adequate soil, so they changed it from having to have town water and septic to adequate soil.
Well, I'm talking about they were concentrating more development in all of the established areas with
right.
municipal
yes.
waters.
Yeah.
People that they're not looking to do it here.
Right.
Fly over Europe, you want to see what the future is for us.
Which country?
I've flown over all of them the last 2 years. Enclaves that you could fit to your neighbor's house, and then the rest is all farmland and whatnot.
So
it's been that way for a while.
Crunch us all into a little freaking zone, and in the natural resources, I know the natural. I said it here at this board and at the select board meeting. Natural resources they want in Sanford is the uranium up there by Sucker Pump.
Well, the BCRC has till 12/31/26 to write their new plan, their regional plan. So we have until then to really see what they're going to do.
2 years, time flies so fast.
Right. Also, there's new flood disclosures. So people who are selling in high-risk areas have to disclose that now more. They made more solid laws about that. And Lori, you might know more about the second home tax rate. I wasn't sure exactly if that meant when you're purchasing your second home, or do they get a higher tax rate all together?
I'm not sure if that has to do with the transfer tax when you're buying,
right,
as opposed to adding property taxes.
I wasn't
sure. That's what they're changing.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, there were a lot of clerks going back and forth trying to figure out what that meant, and there hasn't been a firm explanation.
Just for clarification on what you're talking about, in Vermont, under real estate law, you did not have to disclose if you had any water issues. So when you were selling, you never had to disclose.
I'm not sure what it was before, but I know now they're making it, so you definitely...
No, I'm telling you, they changed the law, and now you have to disclose it. You always had to disclose it in Massachusetts. But in Vermont, you could sell a property that's been flooded, like just about this whole town, and not disclose it was flooded. They're changing.
A lot of things. But now they have to, which they should anyway.
Yeah.
Should be ashamed to not disclose things like that.
Yeah.
But that's not for me. So, anyways.
Or even if you're in the threat of being, like, even if you've never been in a...
You're in the river corridor.
Yeah.
Yes.
This whole town's made in your...
If you need flooded... If you
this
need
whole town is not in the river corridor. Have rocks on your head. Years ago, freaking people used to bring in bulldozers.
Sam, don't holler at me. You want to talk. Lower your voice.
Clear the river.
Lower your voice.
Don't tell me how to talk, all right?
Don't scream it, boy. You want to holler at them, go ahead, but don't scream at me.
They clear the brook out, get a bulldozer, and then the water didn't come into your yards. Then the state took over the rivers and created these river corridors. It's a bunch of bullshit.
It is, but they've got it.
No, but we don't have to keep giving them more and more and more. That's my point. I'm not yelling at you in particular. I'm yelling at the whole frickin' situation. We don't have to keep giving them frickin' ground.
I agree, and I said a long time ago, why is this town allowing Green Mountain Forest to buy our lands and get $150 an acre in taxes, so we get 30 grand a year on the 12,000 acres when we should be getting a half a million? Why did this town allow that? Who's behind that? Because people couldn't afford to pay the taxes?
No, because the Planning Commission, when I first joined, was passing laws so nobody up in the forest zone could build a freaking camp. And so you're going to just pay taxes on it forever and you can't do anything? Because this board passed the freaking laws.
You and I worked on that to change that.
You were not on the board when
I worked on that to change that.
Right, but it was hard. The damage was already done. Patton sold off all his land because nobody could do anything.
What happened to the land that North Adams just sold off?
They can't do anything on it.
Why? Because North Adams owned it, we were getting good taxes for it, they sent the land to public trust, and then the board voted and let the Green Mountain take it. More land that should never went. Right?
Yeah, it's all water over the dam now.
Last year, you're talking 20 years ago. I'm talking about
where we're at now. People now in town, you own land in the forest zone, you can build a cabin. You can even put in a...
You can build a house.
No, you can build a... Or you can have a...
I can't build anything.
There's no
more... No, but you can even now, you don't even need a septic system. You can have a what?
You can have a composting
toilet. Composting toilet.
Yeah.
In the village?
In the forest, sir.
It's pretty much on North Vermont, I think. I think you can pretty much have one anywhere.
So we did. We did accomplish some good things, but it was... The town was already...
Still a lot of acres that could be gone to those guys. And they, like you said, they keep buying more and more and more.
I mean, the forest was essentially about as open as it's going to get a few years ago when we removed the conditional use, process to the building in the forest.
Yeah.
It's just a regular permitted process now.
Yeah, good. To see people doing stuff.
Even if we don't get stuff,
you don't lose
state.
It. You don't use it, you lose it.
Okay,
that's the old saying.
I mean, it's going to sell. It's already selling up that way. Up, if you're talking West Road, Klondike Road.
It's selling.
Yeah.
People are trying to buy land around here. I get notices every day for the 48 that I own.
It's coming. I've been saying it for 4 or 5 years.
Three times what I paid for. What do they want it for?
I mean, the high speed internet, as much as it's a great thing, was probably the end game as far as people, a lot of people move into town looking for land. Because they can, you can work in Manhattan, live right here in Stamford, right?
There's
now.
Three rivers running through it. Why do they want it?
They don't know what they're buying.
No, I don't think so. I think with a GPS, you can see just about anything.
Yeah. Well, they're buying and they're coming.
And they are coming. Yeah.
Well, they'll be taxed more.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Before Dan starts screaming at
him. Dave, I like yelling at you. Don't take it personally.
So bottom line is, we're possibly due to be classified into Tier 3, but we're not going to know that until 2026.
The end of it.
2026.
Right.
So I'm sure there'll be more information forthcoming
yes.
over the next couple of years.
Yes. Well, we'll slip them over. I think there's a date for the Village Center designation.
Yeah, it's 7:30.
30? Okay.
Who handles that? Us or Select
Board? I mean, you just let it expire unless there's got to be a process.
Who is that, though? Is that Planning Commission?
That's the Planning Commission through the Franklin County Regional Commission. All that was set up through that.
It's nice to have a few people and know what the hell is going on.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't want to keep that.
And there is grants available with that, especially for historic structures. For example, if the town was to buy a property in the center of town and wanted to renovate it, there would be substantial funds and grants available to do that. For that, you know, the school, maybe, I've mentioned this, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, there may be some grants that the school could benefit from. It's right here in the Village Center District, so there's got to be stuff out there. I don't have the time to research grants and all this stuff, but there's money available because of that designation.
Okay.
Are we on the flood safety or the active?
I don't think we touched the flood and safety. Well, you kind of touched on it a little bit, but.
I think I touched on it.
Bulldozers, gentlemen.
We skipped over the renewable energy standard. Let's just do that quickly. Again, it's just to repeat myself. 100% renewable by Vermont by 2035. And moving in-state energy coming from within Vermont from 10% to 20%. So they've really moved the goalpost for that.
Does renewable energy include wood or no?
No, but not for individuals. The biomass is not going to be allowed for like corporations like Green Mountain Power. That doesn't mean Dan Potvin. It means Green Mountain Power, or, you know.
Yeah,
you're right. So these generating electric plants that use chips to make electricity, they're no longer going to be able to use wood chips.
Oh, wood chips, okay. I think they're at least I know they're not going to be making more. They're not going
to probably only in about 1 or 2% now, right? What's the percentage of?
I don't know. We used to ship it to everybody in the Northeast.
It'd be hard. I mean, I don't know how they could possibly imagine removing it from home heating fuel in the Northeast.
I think that's a whole different question.
I just don't think that's possible.
Yeah, I hope you guys are right.
Many splits won't go this far north, so that's not the technology that's going to work.
Yeah, we're not talking about individuals here. We're talking about.
By the way,
I'll really get fired up right here. You know, the state's more likely to
add. Well, you get fired up.
The state's more likely to add debris to the stream than they are to put a bulldozer in it for trout habitat.
They're more likely to what?
Add debris.
Kurt.
Add wood, logs, things of that nature.
For what? So I mean, come through and wipe out the population again? Yeah. There's not a native fish in the whole state.
That's the way the trends are going.
Right.
There's some native
brooks. There's native trout.
I know. I
got some big boys up there by Sherman Dam.
Yeah. Right.
When I was a kid.
It's a radioactivity.
No, I don't want to take up time here, but this is important. Because when I was a kid, I used to fish the brooks. I used to catch more native trout in East Brooks, County Road, even Basin Road. And tell me, Sally, you'll remember. What did, in the summertime, when it got hot and dry and everything was dusty, what did the town road boss spray on the roads?
Oil.
Used motor oil.
Yeah.
And I'm...
Wet it down. Yeah.
That's a fact. And there were more trout back then. Now there's nothing there unless they stock it.
The main problem
so what the hell's happened? Back then there were sewers going in the brooks.
The main problem was they don't have any genetic diversity anymore because they've been shut off from all the dams and
rams.
There's no genetic diversity getting up for the fish to breed from, so they're basically
plus those rivers are all blown out. Like, right. They went from, like this yeah. to, like, triple the right. size, and so the water level went from this down to that. This, and, like, they're just, the only way they're coming downstream is if there's a massive
rainstorms.
Yeah, we don't have it. A lot of beaver dams. Yeah. And that produces a trout. So they would get into the brooks. That's what I know.
Trust me, I fished on every brook known to man around here, and they're not, they're just not there. I mean, I find some small ones. Some small browns.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you got to go down towards Clarksburg to even get the rainbows and the bigger browns.
Yeah. Yeah. I pulled 18-inch rainbows for no, it was like a bigger lean hole. Yeah. 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 Trying to reconnect. You know,
but they're
all these streams.
But they're 18-inch rainbow trout. They've been here for years. You know, they've been in that dam. Like, I'll fish at the top. Of the, you know, where the big dam is, where Route 8 meets Route 2, that big dam that hits the flood chute. You go up to the little dam right behind those row houses, there's a huge sinkhole in there, right at the bottom of that dam. And there are some monsters in there, and those babies have been there
like the bottom of the
for
dams,
years.
Hey, Aldi, isn't he breaking all the rules? Like, you never tell people the best fishing spots or the best
fishing
spots.
I wouldn't say it's the best fishing
that's
spot.
It's the second best fishing spot.
Aldi already knows.
So there'll be more investigation on this stream up here by Trout Unlimited in the near future, because they're already worried about the main stem of the Hoosick and the south branch of the Hoosick becoming too warm. It's going to be carp country in the next 10 years.
So my son are going to be able to just march up through town with our chainsaws and drop trees in the
river? We'd have to get rid of all the dams, which would be like in our lifetime.
There's
a massive river, just get rid of dams.
Nothing.
Well, that's part of the flood thing, right?
Well, 2035 doesn't scare me, because that's right, like so far off.
Fly fishing, there's nothing there.
I think that's I think it's going to tie in the renewable energy thing. I think it's going to tie in with the land development maps when they make them. So I think those two things to watch together. That's just my own take on it.
In between now and then, they can do anything to those rules.
So if I have a high-density population in Stanford, then, like it or not, there's a safeguard built in as far as storm water goes. It'll be hard to get around that.
I eliminated a toxic septic that was going into the river.
Illicit discharge.
I removed the threat.
I would venture to guess it's not the only one along the river.
Dude, straight pipe right to the river. When I dug it up.
Bunch of houses.
Straight into the river.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There was no beds. It wasn't going into the corner of the yard.
Oh, yeah.
Straight into the river. It's like, wow. That was a good one. Huh. Anyway.
Okay, Act 250 Reform Bill.
We did that.
Okay, Flood Safety Act.
Kurt, you seem to know more about this than me, so.
The Flood Safety Act? Not really.
Okay, you brought up last week. So they're going to do some river corridor protections. They're going to be making new maps again for 2026. They're going to have state regulations to keep development, the new developments out of harm's way. That's the way they put it. So if they make the maps where not to build, and allow, you know, space for the rivers to overflow and the river to move, the water to move.
So they're going to take over, they're looking to take over wetlands.
Wetlands, yeah. Yes.
State's going to take over all water.
Right, which is my next thing. Wetland protections, they're going to do wetland mapping.
All water.
Which is it's either to protect the wetlands we have or actually increase them. That's
including
crazy.
Your wells, and you're going to have to pay through your well water.
Well, I wouldn't doubt at some point they're trying to jam.
You're doing it in other
streams
now.
Inside the system. I mean, the town doesn't necessarily need sewer and water. They need one or the other.
If they went in and tried to regulate your well, think about how much money that would cost them to, because they'd be responsible for cleaning it and maintaining it. If you're going to pay for it, that means they take ownership of said water that's coming through there, which in return, they will have to monitor. They will have to hire people to do that. They will have to, I mean, it would be an astronomical amount of money.
I know, but my point is they're doing it in other states.
The system probably
When they lay it.
It's happening here, yes.
There have to be multiple plants. I mean,
yeah. My gravity feed spring, they'll say, we own it, you pay us X amount per gallon, there's a meter in your house now.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but
wouldn't they lay pipe and everything for if they put in town water?
I mean, so many people are
in shallow wells.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people don't even have the deep wells. I don't think
they utilize our wells.
I don't think you have a shallow well anymore.
They pay for the whole thing, and then
I have a 15-foot shallow well.
No, I'm saying new construction. No, I don't think you can put.
Oh yeah.
The banks are restricted, but you still can do it. Yeah. Well, it's the banks.
Now, I think in New Hampshire it's more.
Yapping about it.
Okay. They give you specs. If you're putting in a shallow well, they give you specs you've got to follow, which are I've heard them. They're crazy.
I'm on a main vein, so even when we're droughty,
yeah,
I'm flowing.
My well could feed 10 houses.
Same.
Lawrence's well up there on the mountain.
I don't know about
that. That feeds the golf course. That could feed 3/4 of the town. I've seen that well when I was little.
There's some houses attached to that.
Huh?
Isn't there some houses along the lane attached to that mountain?
I'm telling you, that is the spring of all springs. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get on to old.
And the last thing is about dams, like dam safety. They want to take the maintenance and inspection and whatnot of dams away from municipalities. I'm not an expert on this, so don't. But it turned over to the Department of Environmental Conservation, so it would become more of a, right? Am I right on this? State monitored as opposed to locally monitored, which I know Dan's not going to like that.
Yeah, but we don't have any dams in town.
Okay.
Right now, I can only focus on Sanford. I can't focus on the whole state.
And the emergency planning will go from municipalities more to the state, the BCRC, the region.
Yep. Emergency planning?
Pardon?
That's part of it? Emergency planning?
Regional planning as opposed to.
Yeah, yeah, but we're working around that.
That's right.
That's all I got.
Okay, old business, anybody?
I'd like to chat about that letter you sent out for emergency management, and I was doing some thought about it. 2 weeks ago, when my power went down again, I've had a generator for years, and I had physical go out and turn it on. But I thought, as a board, either the select board or this board, the benefit this town would have is if we help sponsor through the state people to get generators powered by propane so that every house has one, so that in an emergency, everybody would have power. And that's something the state would help fund. They'd take about $1.5 million, I calculated it out. The state would pay 80% of it, and the town would have to come up. You know, you wouldn't be able to buy trucks for Dave 1 year, maybe. I think that's something, to your point, it gives you water, it gives you emergency power, it gives you heat. If everybody had a generator, that would solve a lot of problems.
Are you talking about a whole home generator?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
I'm talking about a Generac, 10,000 watt generator.
Yeah, because that's about $15,000 a piece.
No.
Installed.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, we did Paul Dubas just did it. I mean, I researched it for about 6 months because when we had all that stuff went out, I was getting sick of going out and ripping my generator.
You could be right, but my brother installs them, and he's not getting that kind of money. But things have changed, and I've been out of it. He's an electrician.
From soup to nuts. So if you don't have somebody in your family or your buddy doing a solid, like Paul just had the regular, he didn't get a Generac, he got Kohler, and he put it in. He had to have the propane run, the electrician, the whole shebang. It was between $13,000 and $15,000. His was on the higher end because he went with a little bit of a bigger tank for propane. My thing is, I'd be all for it. How long's it gonna pay for me to get a generator?
It doesn't probably power up any state contractors too, probably.
$15,000, so at least you have a number. I think you probably, with the amount we're talking about, you could probably get it for less.
Cheaper, yeah, I would assume if you bought
so it. So if the states will only give 80% on $10,000, $8,000, and the town has to come up or the people have to come up with a couple thousand bucks, It's a critical thing. We lose power here more than anything else. We lose power. This is something this committee can do. We can make a difference in this town. To your point, Dan. To your point. I'm sorry.
Well, okay. So I hear what you're saying. And if you can come up with the numbers that the state's going to pay 80%, I'll be willing to listen. Okay. I have a hard time thinking they'll pay squat. Our state's broke. The federal government's broke. I'm trying to get people.
Do you have any leads on this?
How's that?
Do you have any leads on this? Or
I've been looking at stuff. There's nothing. Nobody's initiated a program like this. It's just like when we brought in broadband 25 years ago. Nobody even heard of it. We brought it in and it happened. That's why we have high-speed internet today. I just got the idea from Dan saying, hey, emergency, let's, you know, see this, that. And I said, what's the most important thing we can do for people in this town? And that's for them to have power.
Okay. So here's where you and I are going to differ today. I'm not looking to do stuff for people. I'm looking to get people to do stuff for themselves. Okay? That's a difference.
That's fine.
It's like I've given all the information out. You want to follow it? You want to have a water filter? You want to get a pump so you can draw water out of your drilled well?
I think he's just saying your ideas gave him the thought for this.
Yeah. I know. But I don't like
that's exactly what
I'm saying. I think it's something that we should definitely discuss. I think it'd be nice to have some.
Especially for all the people who can't.
I mean,
spend for themselves.
I'm not worried about myself at this age. At 45, I can pretty much.
Yeah. Oh my God. I go down and do it.
But you know, like Dottie across the street. Like,
yeah.
If the power goes out, like.
Yeah.
I'm there trying to make
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to make sure.
Your neighbor's taken care of.
Is taken care of and is better. And if that benefits the whole town in a lump sum, well, freaking sweet. Because
yeah.
if the state's going to give you free anything.
Yeah, we need information. We need something to read.
I'm working on it.
I'll be more resilient in one way or another, and it's good that everyone's wheel is good.
Okay, I'm hearing you all. And if the state would fund a big portion of it,
I'm with you there too.
Right.
And maybe the federal government might not just be the state. There's always, Lori, there's always money available. Now that I've tripped your brain, I'm sure you'll be coming
it's
up with something.
It's always money, but it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
But this
state wants. And we have, what do we got? 300 homes? Right. How many homes do we have in Stanford?
The other thing I think about.
How many homes?
Probably had 400. Not 400.
600.
No, that's people, right? We got 600.
Okay. The other thing I think about.
340.
I've had two practice rounds.
It's going to happen in my son, my 3-year-old's like, they've already passed the law. Right, but it's just.
I think Sally.
They've got so many people.
Dan, so there's 340 homes. Probably half the people are going to get them.
Yeah. Gentlemen.
That'll give you the answer.
Gentlemen, so in 2000, right? And I built my house in 1998. I just want to share with you, I've had two runs without power. 2 months in the middle of the winter. First was January 1st, 2020. For some reason, all my transformers at the sawmill blew. Okay? That was Y2K. Everybody was preparing for it.
Yeah.
But my house was built. Everything was in place. But my power came through the sawmill. So all those transformers, I was without power for January and February. Okay? My house ran like a top. Okay? February 11th, 2012, the sawmill burned out. I lost all my transformers. I was without power for 2 weeks in February and the full month of March. So I've had two practice runs in the wintertime. Okay, what I put on my sheet it gives you resilience without like here's the way I think. I don't have solar. I don't have a generator that runs on propane.
Yeah.
Okay? Because if things are really critical, you ain't gonna be able to get propane. You ain't gonna get gas. You ain't gonna get diesel fuel. Right? So if you go back and you read my letter, I gave everybody the means. You live next to a brook. Everybody's got a brook next to their house. You can go grab 5 gallons of water a day, dump it through the filter. Although I'll tell you, because my sister tried to buy one last week, they're already sold out. Okay? And that was a top-of-the-line filter. You can pour through the filter and you can drink that. You can only survive 3 days without water. You can go 30 days without food. And with a lot of blankets, and if you have a wood stove in your house, you can survive the winter. Okay, you're just going to go to bed earlier because you don't have a light. I always look at the worst case scenario, and then I work back from that. Okay, so I do have a generator. That's how I built my house. It's a 25,000 kW generator. Runs off the PTO of my tractor. Okay, that's how I built my house because I didn't have any power. So all the guys building my place, 25,000 kW, boom. Back then I only paid like $3,000 for it. It's a Winco. They may go up to 100 kW. But if I don't have diesel, I'm screwed, right? That's why when I built my house, I put in a gravity feed well, I got a gravity septic, I got root cellars in the basement. It's like I have everything. And I know not everybody was thinking about that 30 years ago, but I was, okay? Now we're here in this time. And my letter was to try to spur people to find ways, simple ways, like a water filter, right? I can go to a stagnant pond, pour that through, right? And if there's a nuke goes off in Pittsfield at General Dynamics or Raytheon, it is going to take out the radioactive particles, right? And it works for 6,000 gallons. So figure out your household, right? Where I'm living right now, I mean, I'm living with my mom, that's going to last for like 8 years. Half a gallon a day, you gotta drink, maybe. But that pump that the Amish made, I mean, most people's wells, my brother-in-law told me his water level is up like 40 feet from the top of his drilled well. That pump will pull water up from 125 feet. You just screw it on the top of your well and you pump it. You don't even have to filter it because that water, right, even radiation, by the time it gets even my 15 foot well, right, by the time that water gets to where the water's coming up, it's filtrated. So the radiation particles aren't going to bother.
Okay. My only point about trying to be with Dan is that with a 100 gallon tank, if you have a snowstorm and people are stranded for 2 weeks, couldn't get to anybody, that will heat the house for a week. My propane tank will last a month. But that 2 or 3 weeks that thing will run and power the people, that's huge. Right.
Two different situations.
It allows you to get together.
I agree with you.
Two different situations.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it's a good point.
We should get
more information for sure.
Yeah.
Nope.
So consider both. More information.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. So onto this. Your new business onto this conference I'm trying to pull together. I've got all the speakers on the list. Jim Sullivan's the first one on the list. Okay, because him and I hit it off on this issue, self-sufficiency and resilience. Okay, so it's gonna be hard pressed. I got like 8 people to talk, they're gonna have 15 minutes to talk, and then it'll be like a conference. So each person who talks will have 15 minutes to talk, and then they'll have a table, okay? And then people throughout the afternoon, you go to this one's table who's doing seed saving, this one who's solar, this one who's, right?
Yeah.
This is gonna be a hard thing to pull together with these people. I know all these people, right? I got an emergency guy, I got a solar guy, I've got a seeds guy. You gave me up the road, you said she did Bobowick. I saw her in the store 2 weeks ago, and I'm like, I haven't seen her in years, and I talked to her, and she's like, the person you want is Paul Kipp. My old state trooper. Right? No, this is great.
Do you have a date or a time?
No. I gotta serve. What I'm getting at is, I'm looking for a few hands to help me with this. I mean, I've put on conferences before, but you know, I've got to pull everybody together, and the biggest thing is going to be promoting, right? But to get these people from different states and stuff all in one afternoon on a Saturday, I'm thinking a Saturday.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough nut to crack.
Are you thinking here at the Stanford School gym or bigger?
The gym.
What were you thinking doing?
Well, it's a groundbreaking conference. Why wouldn't they want to be here?
August.
What's that?
August. Well, I know I'm a big draw, so, and I'm friends with these people.
This is a great idea, and I think the concept of this has just got
people. This would be the first one and then build on it.
Exactly. Like the old right? craft fair used to be, but only more than one craft
fair. Right, because a conference like this, or it really should be called a workshop, but you could have 20 speakers speaking on 30 different topics.
Absolutely.
It's such a big, broad case. I'm just trying to bring in the nuts and bolts for the first one.
Topics are endless, anywhere from, you know, green products to survival to resilience to, you know, all that. It's all like rolled into one. This would be a good thing.
I'm going to do the eating one.
Well, Dan, on a different topic, did you ever talk to your friend about the overshadowing? I know you knew someone.
I haven't gotten to him yet.
Okay, can we put that on the agenda for next meeting? Because I still am concerned about that subdivision we did. And I have a question for like people that have been on the Planning Commission. Like, I don't understand as a new member why Deb can make it divide into two lots, but it took us to make three, but yet we had no choice but to say yes. Then why is that?
I disagree with that completely.
Doesn't make sense to me.
I think we hastily voted those lots in without really understanding. It clearly states, I have a statute, that whenever you subdivide a subdivision and there's septic and water, it has to go before the Planning Commission. It couldn't.
Which brings me to the question.
It didn't. We didn't know what the guy's building. We didn't know anything.
Well, like on another question I have, and again, it's for people that have been on the Planning Commission, it's like there's that question five, and it wants a whole outline of not just the buildings now, but future buildings and whatnot. And we were told not to consider those, but I'm wondering if we need to.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't know. And I want to know why it goes to us to make it three when we just have to say the same thing Deb is going to say to two. Then why can't Deb just do the three? Like, what is the, why is that built in? Can anyone answer that?
I have an answer. John Dukers was on the board at the time and was looking at that and felt we have one lot. If you're going to divide it into a second lot, that's fine for our CDA to approve, but he felt three or more should have more than one head. Thinking about roads and emergency and whatever.
But we didn't consider any of that. We only were told
follow
the bylaws that says you can in the period. That was the end of the discussion.
If you read the bylaw part, it says this is an approved permittable action. So if it's allowed, you have to allow it. It's just that she doesn't have the authority to say yes. It's not in one of the other conditional uses where it's a maybe. Where it fell into, if you look in your bylaws, is permittable uses.
But it's still open for review. It's still open for review. I understand what you're saying.
Well, that's
like what you're saying is you don't. The Planning Commission can say no.
I guess that's what
the Planning Commission
can say
anything they want, but when it comes
but then it doesn't make sense to me.
I think your lots might require a site plan review, which then they would have to submit a 10 or 15 step process that this is what they want to do up there, this is what they intend on doing.
I'll check with the fellow in town.
I think that was a patent subdivision, and there was all kinds of stipulations put on that. Because those subdivisions are all over town, people are trying to subdivide a subdivision when roads were supposed to be put in. This town opted to stay away from a lot of that, like up on the road up behind me, because they didn't follow through with what they were supposed to do. And we don't want the town putting the roads in, right?
Depending on your perspective, LeSure Road is a place that can be highly developed.
I understand that.
With private road activity.
Yeah.
So, depending on your flavor, they're very narrow, very low road frontage, and you're talking maybe a couple hundred feet road frontage, but they're 30 acres a lot.
Yeah.
So, the only way to access those.
So what about the guy that owns a lot next to it that doesn't build, and the guy next to him puts three houses in? Now he can't use his lot because it's only 200 feet wide, and it's downhill, so the shit's rolling down into his yard, right?
You don't understand anything about septic systems.
Who doesn't?
You don't.
Dan, I was putting them in when you were in diapers and cars for
yeah, yeah.
I put your septic system in.
You're full of shit.
No. Hey. Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Dan.
Jesus.
Remember
John
the line?
Lewis is one of the best engineers in the year.
I don't care, Dan.
You don't care. I know you don't care.
I've worked for
that's why you wanted to put in a water system for the town, because you don't understand that people's shallow wells are polluted because they don't keep their
whoever said I wanted to put a water system in?
You talked about that 10 years ago.
Dan, I talked about taking advantage of the water system that North Adams was using.
Look at
it. We gave it away, though.
Look at it. You put in a state-approved septic system, you can have a shallow well within 150 feet of that, and it's not going to pollute it. That's how tight the systems are now. So you don't know what you're talking about. I do. I deal with this stuff all the time.
So I'm glad you're an expert, Dan, but I'm going to tell you something. If I own 30 acres of land and I wanted to build a house and somebody put three septic systems near my boundary line, near my water, I don't give a shit what you say.
So
I'd be against it.
LeSure Road is an area of town that's ripe for heavy development, and there's a lot of things to take in consideration with that. You know, the road, namely one in a small town having a road budget for it. But it's very flat up there. There are hairy patent lots that are long, narrow lots. The only way to access them, the only way to access the land up there is basically make it look like it looks like over by the airport in North Adams.
Yeah, you're gonna subdivide.
I mean, depending on your flavor, that's what it could look like up there. And you know, the roads are it's great that we want to expand out in all these directions of town area, but we're a town with limited resources, and we got to consider the roads and how we're going to maintain these roads and what kind of staff we're going to have.
That's all I'm saying. All I'm not for or against anything. I'm just saying. To just openly say, okay, here's three lots without really looking what's going on, I think it's a mistake.
We've had this argument ad nauseum too. You know, creating a tax base, it's dependent on who moves to town, right?
Right.
You could have all these houses and maybe all these kids want to go to McCann High School.
Yeah.
Right? So then you're not gaining anything by developing
more. Yeah, but the state pays for most of that. That's a fallacy that we're paying all this money. The state pays for
it. It still increases the school budget.
Yeah, it does.
I'll find out what the overshadowing means and what this situation will
I mean, I've looked into what overshadowing means, but I mean, I think we just need to talk about it more.
I'll bring up an engineer in.
And one of the things that Act 250 did notice is the private road situation. That's right. One of the things that they addressed.
Yeah.
Where it, you know, it's going to be limited to like 800 feet.
People that are coming and buying properties don't have kids right now.
No.
Okay. They're coming in, they're coming from the city, it's a second home, they're not even
going to homestead it here.
That's a different.
Even if they homestead it, it doesn't matter because they make too much money, they don't even care.
So that's the other argument, Pete, when you guys are considering how to structure land management in the future. How do you structure it? I mean, if we're going to become a second home community, right, that are going to pay the tax basis, how do you structure the land use plan that appeals to people to actually do that?
I think we did it in our last zoning bylaw change. Because the idea is you want to put in a private road for two lots on your 20-acre lot. Town ain't paying a penny for it.
Right.
And then it falls under Act 250.
Now you got two houses at $5,000 apiece taxes. What's it costing the town?
Well,
but when you want to get into...
There could be issues with private roads, ultimately. They could fall back on the town.
How?
How? Okay. The guy that owns the road builds his house at the front of the
Can't get a fire truck up it.
He builds his house at the front, right? Then he sells 3-4 lots behind him. All of a sudden, he develops a problem with these lots behind him that are paying taxes to the town, and he says, I'm not maintaining the road anymore, and I'm not plowing the road.
Yeah, but who's that on?
It's going to ultimately come
back
on
the town. No, it ain't going to be ultimately. It's on the landowner.
It is, but ultimately it's going to come back on the town because those four or five people are paying taxes and their road's not maintained.
So it's a lawsuit between them and
the guy. The will get louder and louder to make it a public road. This already happened. There's.
I don't care. My point is, as long as this town stands, you're pissed off with your three neighbors because you can't get out. That's a lawsuit between you and them. It's not got anything to do with the town. The town doesn't have to touch
it. They're paying taxes to the town.
What if the guy dies?
That don't matter.
They're going to want to get it. It's going to matter.
It would matter if we're all in here. Our neighbors.
It's going to matter.
You think it's going to matter?
It'll matter. Trust me, it'll ultimately matter.
That was a good one.
I like good odds. I like good odds.
I'm going to be here.
Research how Sparrow Road. Research how Sparrow Drive became a public road. It's exactly what happened up there in the 1980s.
Yeah.
It's how it happened.
Yeah. Welcome to Auburn Wall. We're still fighting the issues. And he's making me believe. Dan, you're making me believe.
Didn't the state, within the past couple of years, do a new law that people on private roads should have a road maintenance agreement?
You should have a private
road.
Yep.
But if you look at our zoning bylaws we passed, one of the stipulations is there has to be a place for the emergency vehicles to turn around.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that was good. Whether or not the people in that group, right, say I want to sell three lots of my kids, whether or not we have an agreement, no, we fight all the time, me and my kids, right? Tomorrow I might not want to let you drive through. I might put a log across the road.
Right,
to me, that's between us.
Right.
And I don't see why.
So that was the whole concept that we were talking about behind planned unit developments. That wasn't like everyone's thinking, bam, there's going to be condos in town. We were talking more about it for cluster development, for quote-unquote compounding for families, right?
Yeah.
Or if you have 20 acres of land, right, instead of dividing it up 10 houses on 2 acres apiece and using up all the land, you can cluster those houses, you know, maybe on 2 of the acres, and you could farm the other 18.
Right.
So that's all that really was. That's basically what we were talking about earlier with medieval development and how you say in Europe looks, right? It's cluster development. That's really where they're pushing everybody to cluster stuff in the middle and don't touch the resources at all. That's why they're basically getting rid of private roads for fragmentation.
I understand, but I also know what's behind their thought to control all the resources.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could have that argument.
Whoever controls your resources controls the people.
All right.
I'm not saying I'm for or against the situation, to Lisa's point, that there's more to these subdivisions than the AO coming in and saying you have to do it. My research said she was incorrect.
I'm pretty sure if it's three units, it needs a site plan.
It needs a site plan. And we voted it in and it was wrong. So that was my point.
I couldn't find that in the bylaws, though.
I did.
It's not right in the bylaws. It should be right in
7.2.
It's a site plan. Check out 7.2.
Should have been a site. Yeah.
I've been 7.2.
I've been talking about 7.2 for 3 years.
When do you get so far out
there? Well, I'm not the only guy bringing it up.
Maybe four. I'm cheating. When you do use two hands, that is cheating. You got to catch
you
up.
You are the smartest guy in the room.
Right. So I'm assuming you want more information.
But then not at all.
Yes. Because it doesn't make sense why if it's three, we just say the same thing Deb would have said if it's two. Then what's the point of it even coming if that's our only job suit? The same thing she's going to do anyway.
It was something about how it's not three yet or something.
No, it's that.
No, it's three.
Well, no, it was two, and then.
And accessory.
They brought up three, and I said, wait a minute, it's three. And then Deb said, you can't. And then he said.
Don't forget now, guys, too, anytime there's two, you can times every house by one, by two, right?
Right.
You can have accessory dwelling units with any piece of
right, property. I understand that. They were talking about separate houses.
So
it's separate. Separate.
Yeah, it's
I thought this was all an overshadowing issue.
So, because they don't start it all in right now to build anything.
I thought it was all an overshadowing issue.
Well, they came right in and said they're going to build
three houses.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Correct.
Right. And that's what I part of it said.
The loopholes. Right. Right now, it's going one by one so that they don't have that site plan visit.
Yeah.
The overshadowing issue.
Exactly.
And didn't they say one house, two houses are going to share one site?
Yeah.
Right, that's
accessory.
Yeah, and you can do that.
I did. I thought they were going to bought the old Poppin house. She brought that one there for a month or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had to be attached.
Set up our sound.
Really?
Yeah. It's a sound system.
Fred, I see nothing in 72.
These are heads. I talked to the heads.
I'm
walking. Just saying, fix it.
Yeah.
You're saying in a nutshell that overshadowing is a tough problem because you don't have enough acreage between your properties. That's essentially what they're saying.
You don't know anything about septic tanks.
I don't really.
I'm just concerned for the person, like, I understand that the state does septic, but like if it's going to impinge upon someone else's private property that they no longer can now, if they need to put a well on theirs, it's their land. I feel like they should have use of their land.
Right.
Period.
Right.
In the future, if their grandchildren want to build.
If you plant a really nice apple tree and it grows up after years,
you could do anything.
And the branches go over to onto my property, I have the right to cut those branches or take those apples because it's overshadowed on my property.
Right.
Sure. You just don't want to. The way the state is kind of talking, like, you can't do that because it's overshadowing, they can do that.
But where are the regulations that you can't? Nobody in this room, including myself or you, know what overshadowing means.
It's a
yes,
gray area.
We do.
I know what it means. I just don't know what the law behind it is.
I don't know what
the actual mathematics.
My engineer is going to tell you that means. That's why I want to talk to you.
I want
to
add that.
I agree.
Like,
right.
That's what
is that something? Is that
absolutely
that topic something for the zoning board? If that is
I'm not
topics,
sure.
I
think I would like to at least have this board look into it individually so we can bring it on next meeting and see who it goes to.
I think it's definitely something like where he's coming from. You know what I'm saying? But when you're almost handcuffed to like, even if we didn't make a decision, they're going to do it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like he's going to put that septic in there. He's going to go to the state, and the state he's going to say the septic guy's going to approve, and ultimately it's going to bypass everybody. They're going to put it in.
Yep.
So, but I think if we had stricter zoning bylaws that prohibited further infringing on other people's
because I think we can have stronger rules.
Yeah. Overshadowing.
Right.
That's something I think that should be brought up and that should be researched. But I think that that's a zoning.
It might be.
And I could be wrong.
We can start here.
It might be something.
I mean, they can relate to the conversation around, you know, talking about acreage for lots and stuff.
Right.
To divide for three things, it has to have a site plan review. And that's what they're trying to do.
I'm all for everybody being able to do whatever they want with their property.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm all for it.
Okay.
But it can't affect another.
Right.
Probably. And I get that. The state sucks. But I think we as a town can maybe fix future.
But on the application for the permit, question 5, it says a plot plan must be drawn on the grid, which we got this shoddy thing.
Yeah.
But it says it has to show a sketch with the property lines, the area of the lot, all existing and proposed buildings, the front rear side setbacks, which you just showed me. Property lines, the water supply septic, that's the stuff that we got that I don't think we were told we weren't supposed to.
Yeah, she said we weren't supposed to have.
It's only for one building, and we were told, I think if I remember correctly, that it wasn't even on us, that it was supposed to be on Deb, but Deb
the
came
buildings,
in here and said,
right.
You know,
but
it's kind of on you, it's kind of
my question is,
it's your bit there, no, it's mine.
Well, right, why is it on the permit, then, question 5,
be,
if it's not?
It shouldn't even be on us, I don't think.
because it was specifically just one building.
I don't think
so. I think the zoning administrator has the right.
What one building?
What did we vote on?
Because the whole goal was is that
if I'm not mistaken, that this is this is
we voted for
their property that they currently have. They wanted to build here and leave this 20.
They live here now.
They wanted three lots.
Yeah, they just wanted to subdivide to another lot to make it three. So
right.
Yes.
See, here's
they wanted
a site plan review.
Yeah, they were on like two something, and then they wanted the kids wanted to build the house directly behind them.
And in front.
And then they
needed a site plan review
plus behind them for future development because ultimately that's where it's going. Right. But I think if they were going to go for the two or three lots that are two or three buildings, that's when it needed a site review.
Right.
So I think they only did the one so that they could bypass the site review.
I thought we voted in for three.
Three lots.
Well, it turns to three, but they were just trying to subdivide
the two.
Into three.
But it ends up being three.
Right. I guess it shouldn't have happened. I think it's
you shouldn't have voted it. I'm just telling you.
Honestly, if they want to subdivide their own land, like so be it. I mean, who am I to tell you what the hell you can do with your property?
Until it affects.
As long as you follow the zoning bylaws of the town, the permitting process, the entire process.
Okay, just to be educated.
Whatever you got
to
do.
Just to be educated, the board probably a year and a half ago, we were writing the zoning bylaws, and we actually changed that down to what was just supposed to be two, I believe.
Yeah.
One or two, and we changed it, but it never got finalized because we never had a town vote or anything. The whole writing of the bylaws stopped.
I want to go back to what Pete's been saying because I agree 100%. If what I'm doing on my lane is affecting you outside of running my chainsaw, I'm sorry, right? I mean, because then I don't really care. But if this overshadowing is affecting you, what we don't know yet. Okay, then I agree with Pete 100%. Because what you do on your property should not infringe on my property rights. Okay, I agree with that. I'm all about property rights.
But we do know because we have the map from the engineer.
No, but we don't know what overshadowing means.
Oh, it's right on the map.
What does it mean?
It means you've got a septic system, you've got your distribution. Fluids, and it spreads out over a particular area. And when you do the site plan for the septic system, the distribution goes, say, 50 feet in each direction. It makes a big circle. Well, if you're too close to somebody's property, that circle goes, the overshadowing goes on to his property. That means that if they're in a high water table situation,
last year, when everybody was pumping out their wells,
the static water table comes up, it can possibly go on to your well there. That's what it means. Well, see, I don't know that question.
I'll get you the three names
of the water table. What you want to find out one thing?
I want to find out from an engineer. What this actually means.
You're pumping your well out for nothing. Because you were pumping it out, and thank God that I had my secluded the static water tank. Where my water was coming in my basement was the addition that they actually put in the back half of the house. So I was able to put sandbags with pool noodles cut, so it funneled all the water into my sump pump. And at that point, I used that industrial pump that I had and ran it for two straight days, just pumping water out of my basement nonstop for 2 days. Like he had one in his well. But again, you're fighting a losing battle because until the water comes down, the table comes down.
Screwed.
I don't care where you can dump it out, it just comes back in.
But you have to.
But a lot of these systems now it's all sand. Yeah. And so that sand is filtrating. They're huge mound systems. I look at the system a lot and doing up in Rio.
Yeah, but if that static water table grows where he's saying, shit's in his yard. I don't care what you're gonna do.
Shit rolls down.
It just is gonna because there's it's not even gonna have a chance to filter. It's just gonna come up. Yeah. It's gonna come up through. It's not going down. because all that water is pushing it up.
That's the point of a mound is your septic system holds the solids, and then the water runs out of the top of the septic system, goes into the mound system. I've got a 600-yard mound system, okay? And then it goes through all the pipes and everything, but that sand is filtrating all that soil. Just like I talked about earlier with the cesium that comes...
It's going to filtrate down is what the point is. It's coming up through it. Because we just put we put a crazy system in on Kern Highway. I mean, it cost us an absolute fortune. And it was cool to watch it put it in. And all these concrete pillars with all these weird this weird shit that I've never seen before. Yeah. It was engineered fine-tooth and comb by John Dukerson. We paid for it, trust me. So, but when they had an issue when they first tried to put it in the back half of the building because it flooded and all the water came down from before and all the shit flew right through the back of the tower that was in the ground because it ain't got nowhere to go. It had nowhere, it can't go it anywhere.
Well, because Stanford.
It was just pumping in. So then they had to run it to the front of the building and let it feed the other way because there was a natural spring that was running down through and the water was pumping. That's why all
you can't filter the amount of water that was pouring in just to the village here last summer. I mean, I was pumping 10, 15 feet of water out of my well and fill up in 20 seconds. It was pouring
I want to talk to an engineer.
Just below my panel.
Because I don't think...
I think that honestly we should make a recommendation to the zoning board that they revisit the zoning bylaws.
They have nothing to do with zoning.
Right. It's the planning commission.
No, but they still can have in terms of overshadowing. I'm not talking about the actual septic.
We would be the ones
The ZBA only
enforces or issues that come up.
Right.
But this board is the one that makes zoning bylaws.
Right.
Well, that's what I was talking about. I wasn't sure if it was a zoning board issue. So then
we're planning zoning.
Something that we need to revisit.
Yeah.
And for one of our bylaws to make sure that moving forward, we don't have that overshadowing is not only defined, but taken care of moving forward.
Yeah.
Because we ultimately need a definition. And that definition needs to come not just from me saying, well, this, or from him saying, you know, hey, overshadowing is blah, blah, blah. It needs to come from.
Right. Like Jim was saying, this is going to be something we're going to run into again, not just with this property.
Because they're coming back.
So if we go back a half hour ago and I said shit runs downhill, and he said no, that's what we decided.
So this very issue was addressed in 2009.
Dave, there are very few things I'm never going to agree with you on.
We weren't calling it overshadowed.
I don't know, you can't lie, Dave.
But the situation was partially addressed.
We're just on two sides, different sides of the street.
You think we are.
All right.
2009
was... We're not here.
Kurt, can I just hear what Kurt has to say?
On the agenda.
Okay, I want to hear what Kurt's saying, though.
In 2009, we found that from 1 acre to 2 acres.
For that purpose.
To partially address this issue. You're never going to address it in the village. It's just not going to happen.
I mean, you can't address what is currently exists.
The whole village is overshadowed.
For future, I know. What's overshadowed now is overshadowed, but for future development?
Yes.
I mean, that's something you can address, but really the only way to address it, I think, is to increase acreage.
Did we enforce that up in Altmanwall too?
No.
Not to go to 2 acre lots? I thought we did.
No. You can. It's already approved building lots from 1970s, 60s. Patton's first development.
I mean, there's a lot of houses right here in the village that sit on just over half an acre.
I mean, what is what exists exists.
No, I'm just saying it. I have a piece of land that sits under an acre, under 2 acres.
Just all
that I can't build on for anybody that's listening.
Build on.
But anyway.
You can add on.
Because what other purpose was it for the three? I don't know. What was the purpose for us making a decision for the division of three lots? What was the purpose of it coming to us to do the three lots?
That's your house. Why can't you?
I was a little confused on the whole situation.
And I've read 7.2.
Shelly's been there all the time.
But she said not to consider the buildings. So why, when you're subdividing, just subdividing the land, two definitely decide, but three we decide, but we have to make the same decision as her anyway. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I got it. Right.
I feel like there's a problem with the bylaw.
Yeah.
Or a lack of a bylaw.
Because
I've been combing through it trying to find.
There's a problem with the bylaw.
Go right
on the bylaw.
I don't
know. Come on, read these. Let's go.
I almost had
two
of
these things
on the phone. Oh, did you? Right now, they sell to me, and then they came in and were like, we'll give you full the price for the house. Oh, so I would have had from the road all the way to the thing, and I would have been good. It wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
No, I think this is a good idea to revisit this and sort it out. This is a board to sort it out.
Okay.
Yeah, why don't we put that on the next meeting?
Yep.
The next agenda.
Just get
with shadowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's enough.
Sorry to bring something else up.
No, I'm glad you did.
It's been bothering me.
Again,
I'm glad you did.
All four people doing whatever.
Thank you.
But again, it shouldn't affect.
You're right. Your neighbor.
Or your email
help. You're absolutely right. And if you want to do something, buy more.
Yeah. You have a better way of getting across. Dan don't like it. He hates you. Anything I say, he's
going to go the other side of the
fence. I don't have a penis.
If you're talking, there's an argument to be had with that. If you're trying to base a house. If you're trying to base the town on second homers, all right, if you had, and on the interior, you're going to stand straight up, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but you'd be more likely to sell lots if they're probably at 10 acres.
At what?
10 acres, because people can isolate them.
Right, right, yeah. I agree with that.
Yep.
All
right. No, there's a lot to be talked about in the structure of the units.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Is this the flood zone?
Who seconded?
Oh, we already had that.
I had a question.
Bryce, really?
Yeah. You guys made comments about, you know, maybe that the emergency management should do something maybe for that. So I have a meeting coming up August 13th. And I wrote down, when the power's out, what's done to get any generator or help from the state? And I said, planning board is asking what the state would do to help getting an Elton one. So I will be bringing that to our meeting.
Okay.
When we go up.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll continue to
Pardon? Because right now we really only have this building.
Right.
And it's a summer and a winter problem, really.
Yeah. Winter problem is a real problem, like Dan said.
But then the
heat wave came and I realized it's all
coming up.
Yeah. One of the things that
came
right
up. Coming in.
A lot of people's septics need power to pump the septic out.
Yeah.
I didn't bring that up because I just thought of it while we were talking.
I don't know if any of you know Neil Glassman.
Gravity.
I flush my toilet
from the team.
Robicon joining us. Right out to
your gravity.
To the river.
Yeah. But a lot of people, especially with mouse systems, it's got to be a pump.
It's an injector pump.
Disaster.
Yeah.
Power is important.
I made a motion to adjourn, seconded by Dan.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Very good.
Gracias.
I guess this is...